Welcome to the Digital Hazard Podcast. This is episode number 10. Woot! We're in double digits. It is December the 18th, so this is the show that is around just before Christmas. Alright, I'm going to start it off. My first story is that the Chrome, Mac, and Linux betas, which were pushed out, I believe this week, push Chrome into the number 3 spot behind, obviously, Firefox and, I believe, Internet Explorer. So the Chrome has surpassed the other WebKit browser, Safari, into becoming the number 3 spot for browser. Comment on this real quick, that it's kind of funny that people trust Google that much that they would honestly just take the beta that, I mean, I guess we've been dealing with Google's betas forever, but passed Apple Safari to the number 3 spot. I mean, we've been trusting Google betas forever. I mean, Gmail only recently came out of beta, like that was earlier this year. And just that we take what Google tells us to do. I mean, like, Google is the web company, and I think that's definitely what Google wanted when they set out to on their mission statement to organize the world's information, quote unquote. But they wanted to be the web company, they've done it. they can put out a beta for Mac and Linux, and boom, they're the number 3 spot for browsers. That's quick take, I guess. Next story is that Paramount Pictures will start an online service to sell movie clips. So if you run a blog or you run your Facebook page, I guess most people run their Facebook page, but if you wanted to embed a clip from, say, The Godfather or Forrest Gump or something like that, a famous movie, you can go to ParamountClips.com, search for the exact video snippet that you want. So if you want Ferris Bueller's Day Off, exactly where Ben Stein is going, Bueller, you can search for that exactly, get the clip, and then you just pay something like 35 cents or 99 cents, just like buying a song off iTunes back when it started. And you can get the rights to embed that clip for as many times as you want for your own personal use. I think that's kind of cool. It's a good idea to let people start selling their, or not sell, but start to use their free use for movie clips. Like, yes, you're not buying the rights to distribute the movie, but you're buying the rights to distribute the individual clip. It's a big step forward in sort of the movie industry and how crazy they are with their control over all of their content. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Last week, I believe it was last week, they threw a woman in jail because she was at a birthday party and they took the birthday woman or birthday person to see the New Moon movie. And as she was panning through, she caught some of the movie on playing on the screen, and they threw her in jail because she was videotaping the movie. So I mean, yeah. That fact that Paramount lets you now buy and embed clips from movies, great step forward. That's my thing. Next story is the Google phone. All right, you've heard me yak and yammer about the Droid, but that's the Motorola Google phone. This is the actual Google phone. It's called the Google Nexus One. It takes the four buttons across the bottom that the Droid first came out with, the back, the menu, the home, and the search. It keeps those, and then it gives you a nice, big, glossy, high-resolution display. I think it's 3.5 inches or so. Boy Genius Report has the pictures, so I linked in that in the show notes. And it is thin. They have a side picture of it compared to a G1. And, okay, so you know how the G1 slides, has the sliding keyboard? The entire Google Nexus 1 is about as thick as just the sliding section, the sliding screen section of the G1. It is thin. And it is GSM. And I threw, I threw in the show notes that they also believe that it will be coming on January the 5th, coming to T-Mobile for $199 with a new contract, signing a new contract, and it's GSM. And then they're also going to sell it unlocked, theoretically. So you can buy it not on the T-Mobile contract, or you can go to AT&T with it and be like, AT&T, dude, I'm bringing on my Google phone over your stupid iPhone because, you know, Android is so much better than Apple's stuff. Like, who wants Apple's stuff? Yeah, that it'll be subsidized by T-Mobile. It'll come out January 5th. That's, yes, it's thin, it's awesome, and it's GSM. But I realized that I'll cut through the junk. I'll stay through till the end of my T-Mobile contract on my Nokia 96, and then I will update from there to obviously whatever's the newest Android phone then, because my Nokia is serving me well enough. It sometimes randomly reboots. It's like, oh, I'm gonna go down for reboot now, and then it just goes, and then I'll miss, like, whatever I'm playing on it, or the fact that I'm trying to read a text message, or something like... But no, I'll stick through it. I mean, God forbid I always go back to the old Razer that I have. Well, it's the Razer 2, but it's the newer Razer, but it's my older phone. Anyway, enough about my phones. Speaking of phones, there is now a 4G mobile phone network in Scandinavia. It is from Telesonera, and it has started to work on two 4G networks in Oslo and Stockholm. However, right now the network is only available with those like USB plug-in dongles that you get for laptops. I actually think it's LTE. It's not WiMAX. So that's the clarification on which 4G technology it is. But it's the first rollout of LTE commercially. And I think it's a good idea to start out with just laptops, because then you know the full weight of all the data transfer that can come through your network, as opposed to having to worry about, oh, someone might have this iPhone-like device that pulls a lot of data. I'm looking at a certain company whose initials are AT&T. I believe they're based in America, but I'm not 100% certain. Anyway, I mean, Telesonera, great idea. Like, roll it out with the heavy data use, and then scale it back for the voice. Good idea. But yeah, if you wanna go live in Sweden and drive a Saab, then you can get 4G right now if you went to Oslo or Stockholm, or if you were President Obama and you were accepting your Nobel Peace Prize. Then you could have, if you were President Obama accepting your Nobel Peace Prize, you could have had 4G coverage if you went and bought, I believe it's a Samsung dongle, and it's labeled Big 4G. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. my next story is the fact that a man turns his Christmas lights into a Guitar Hero game. I'm not kidding you. He takes the big, he takes the Christmas lights on his garage, and he turns them into, like, basically the Guitar Hero, like, scroll up, the colors that you have to press. And it basically, he has it posted on YouTube, and it's linked from the story that I have in the show notes. But just, like, and he put it also, the full explanation on make.com. But it's just hilarious. Like, it's huge. That it's cool. yeah, stand in the driveway and play Guitar Hero up on your garage. I mean, you need a projector for that, or you need this dude's Christmas light set up. which I think is kind of awesome. Anyway, moving on. Judges can't friend lawyers in Florida. So if you're a judge, if you're a Florida federal judge, no, just a Florida judge, never mind, you cannot be a friend to any lawyers that you might have their cases. However, lawyers can declare themselves Facebook fans of judges. I mean, yes, triumph of openness and knowing exactly where your judges stand on your case, but kind of silly, maybe? Yeah? I mean, like, what if my lawyer is actually a good personal friend of the... Okay, yeah, okay. I just made my argument for me. Okay, yeah. Good. Good on you, Florida, I think. Not sure. I don't know. Moving on. While we're in the legal state of mind, this came from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and it is a New York Times article that says that Ohio justices say that cell phone searches require a warrant. I've sort of started covering things about cell phones and legislation on cell phones, but thankfully now, Ohio Supreme Court said that police officers must obtain a search warrant before scouring the contents of a suspect's cell phone unless their safety is in danger. So now there is precedent, there is prior art, not necessarily prior art, but, you know, prior legal precedent, in Ohio that says that cell phones are just as protected as your landline. That you need a warrant before you go and search the cell phone call record. It's based on a case of Antoine Smith, who was arrested on drug charges after he answered a cell phone call from a crack cocaine user acting as a police informant. But yes, this is good that now we have more legislation on cell phones. I mean, it just goes back to exactly as it was with landlines, that there's proper procedure that should be carried out, and that, yes, you do need, you cell phones are the same mode of communication as a telephone. All right, I don't want to pull a Seth and Amy really segment on my show, but this is basically a Seth and Amy really segment on my show. Insurgents hack U.S. drones. It's just the title. And that's because the United States military is not smart enough to use an encrypted connection on their Predator drones, on the video feed from their Predator drones. So insurgents can just look up, copy the signal off of those drones and see exactly what those drones are seeing. Now, really, United States military, you're that worried? And the excuse they give, which will blow your socks away, is that if they were to encrypt it, it would be too slow for them to know exactly and control the drone. It's like, duh, really, United States Army, really, United States military, you're that worried about being off on time code that you don't encrypt it? And what's worse is another story came out that it's been going on for 10 years. 10 years. It's like, what? I don't even know what to say to this. It just, it's so stupid. It honestly makes me think that while the NSA might have a lot of information on what I've been doing online over the past however many years that I've ever been online, that the United States military has no clue what to do in the 21st century. I don't even want to know. Like, really? Okay, moving on before I have a cow. The Nook has been rooted, which is sort of like jailbreaking your iPhone or your iPod Touch. So now you can run... It's kind of a geeky thing. Now the Nook has basically all the power of a standard Android device. So there is a Facebook browser. There's a web browser. There's a Facebook app. And there is Twitter apps, Twitter clients, for the Nook. I I wouldn't want to read, I don't know. If, like, the Nook is like the Kindle, in that you get, like, sort of free data access wherever you are, then yeah, that'd be cool. Like, you have like, a paper-sized thing that you can read the internet on basically wherever, as long as you have a cell signal. But, I mean, bigger than your cell phone, that's better. But, I mean, it's a black-and-white e-ink display, which is hard enough to read books on, let alone internet content. Yeah, I'm up in the air on this one. I don't know. It's good. I mean, like, yeah, we can finally root things, and, like, we know how to get to the underlying subsystem. And I think if I had a Nook, I'd do this. But I don't know. I don't know how useful it is. Sound off in the comments, something like that. All right, and my last story has to do with LED traffic lights. Traffic lights, you ask? As in, like, he's really concerned about public safety announcements? Well, the thing is, LED traffic lights are way energy efficient because they don't put off as much heat, and yeah, they can be just about as bright as the sodium, or liquid whatever, lights they are, the basically incandescent bulbs that they have, which are really inefficient. I mean, they give off a lot of heat. Now, here's the kicker. The incandescent bulbs give off a lot of heat, and they melt the snow that lands on them. Because the LED lights are so efficient, the snow just piles up in the lights, and you can't see the light. And it doesn't save people's lives anymore, because it doesn't work anymore, because there's snow in the traffic light. I laughed. I thought this was funny. Like, you didn't think about this when you were making LED lights, that they're so energy efficient that the snow will pile up in them? Like, that's just funny. And this easily be fixed if you didn't care so much about the environment, and you kept on using the energy-wasting incandescent bulbs. Or, God forbid, you just stick heaters along the lights so the snow melts off. I don't know. Bad engineering. That's all I have to say. That's the end of the show. It was a short show today. I sort of blew through things. My pleas are that the art contest is still on. The winner will be announced the first show in 2012, so you have 2 weeks to do it. And obviously, I hope so. I hope you're on break and you're not doing anything for these next 2 weeks, so that you can make some graphic art and it'll be all pretty. And I'd like to hear your feedback, your comments. Leave them in the comments. Email me at mbaron50@gmail.com. Leave them in the comments on the blog, digitalhazardpodcast.blogspot.com, which I hope is where you got the episode, so you should be able to find your way back. that's my story for this week, and I'll come back at you like Spider Monkey. I'll come back at you next week with another episode, just after Christmas. Yeah. So that's the story. Enjoy the week leading up to Christmas, and I will talk to you then.